Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. The weeks are always exciting. It's amazing. They're not Donald Trump weeks, fortunately, thank God, but they show a president who is working hard to do something for the people of the United States. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Green Party, he doesn't care. He just wants to improve the lot of the American people, and he should be commended for this. Whether he will accomplish all, many, or most of those things he aspires to accomplish will be seen. So far, he's done good. Tomorrow night, he'll be on national television with the State of the Union address, which should be interesting. They always are, no matter who is giving them. Remember what you're going to see tomorrow night when you're looking at him. Seated behind him will be the Speaker of the House and the Vice President of the United States, both ladies. First time ever. Big deal. Well, I've got a lot to cover tonight. Where are we going to go now? I'm going to go to Key West, Tallahassee, Fort Lauderdale, New York City, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., Lexington, Massachusetts, West Virginia, India, Florida, Bermuda, Chernobyl, San Francisco, and that's where we're going to go. We won't make them all. We never do, but we try hard. The first thing I'm going to talk about tonight, my friends, is Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin. I am absolutely disappointed in this man. I think he's a disgrace. He may very well end up finishing his senatorial career as a man who wanted to accomplish something, didn't know what the hell he was doing, screwed everything up, and any notoriety he's received will be meaningless. He will not have become a famous person, et cetera, et cetera. Joe Manchin is a Democrat from West Virginia. He's a former governor, and he is also now a United States senator. You have to appreciate something. He is a Democrat and has held the highest post in the state for about 15 years. West Virginia is a black Republican state. What he has accomplished in being reelected all the time is a miracle in itself. Though a Democrat, he is a conservative Democrat and many times votes on the other side of the aisle. He's never been distinguishable and never was prominent. He was one of the senators who went to work every day. Now, though we have a new world, a new ball game with Biden's election, the Senate and the House are the Senate is divided 50-50. It required Kamala Harris's vote to give the Democrats a 51-50 plurality. That means that all Democrats must vote in unison. You can't have one falling away and voting on the other side with the Republicans or no vote, okay? Because then it would only be 50 and not 51. There would not be a plurality. Well, Manchin saw that this could be his 15 seconds in the limelight. I'll give him more time. I'm going to give him 15 months in the limelight. He's become a big man all of a sudden. He announced right away he didn't agree with Biden and this and that. Had to be his own man. And right away, what was he saying to Biden and the Democratic Party? Hey, guys, I'm the new kid on the block. I'm a big man. And I have to be recognized as a big man because if I don't vote with the party, we don't get any legislation through. Now, that's wrong. His attitude was wrong. If he was doing it for the country, I could see. I don't believe he's doing it for the country. I think he's doing it for Joe Manchin's mentality, image. Now, what's the image factor here? Because I don't think it amounts to much. He wants to show the country that he can be bipartisan, that he can cross the aisle, that he can work with the Republicans. and he's eating this up, and the Republicans are feeding him. It's absolutely amazing. I just can't believe it. He's supposed to be smart and intelligent. I just think he was a pretty face all these years. Anyhow, right now, his vote is needed on the bill, the infrastructure bill. Biden, please God forgive me, Biden has proposed a $2.3 trillion infrastructure bill that will do everything, help many people, create many jobs. You work, and they're going to be good-paying jobs. These people will now be paying taxes, so more revenue comes into the government. It's the perfect. But Manchin says, hey, you know, this is a little too much money. The Republicans have a plan out there for about $60 billion or something. He says, that's more attractive. $568 billion. And we shouldn't do this through reconciliation, which means the Democrats say we can do this alone if everyone in our party votes with us. He says we should have a bipartisan passage. He's been saying this ever since Biden was elected. He saw an opportunity, you know, to be the man on top of the shining hill. He's going to accomplish all these things that have never been accomplished before, like getting bipartisanship. We haven't had it in 20 years. And he thinks he can get the Democrats to work with him on some of these things. Because if he drops out, all he has to do is walk away from the Democrats and vote with the Republicans, and anything Biden wants to do, he can't do. That's how valuable Manchin's one vote is. So far, Biden has been playing him well, been very nice, hasn't said anything nasty. But the time's going to come when Biden has to twist his arm, do whatever's necessary to get his vote. And if he can't, I'll lay you money right now. If you read the news reports on Joe Manchin, if he doesn't come through on infrastructure at the end, if he fails to recognize that bipartisanship is not possible with the Republican Party in its present composition, no one will like him in his party. He's going to have a hard time getting anything of his past and getting things done. He's going to be ostracized, and properly so. He's already jumped the fence. He goes over and talks to Lindsey Graham, is now his friend. Can you imagine? Lindsey Graham is now Joe Manchin's friend. Because Lindsey Graham's going to help him with regard to let's try to come up with a Republican bill that will be a compromise with what the Democrats want. Never going to happen. The parties are too far apart. And it's the typical ploy the Republicans, again, have used for 20 years. They go to the Democrats and say, we'll work on this with you. And then they talk for a whole year. Talk. We're making progress here. We're not making progress there. And at the end of a time limit, when something has to be done, nothing can be done because the Republicans can't come up with an agreeable program. And it's going to happen here. If Manchin holds out, they're going to take advantage of him. Maybe he's being sucked in already. He sits now with his quote-unquote good friend, Lindsey Graham, who's a whore. I wouldn't call Manchin a whore. I think Manchin is mentally inept. I don't think he's that sharp of an individual. I'm not saying he's dumb, but it's just that he's a pretty face, doesn't have a pretty mind. But he's going to get bullshit. It's the only way I can put it. I apologize for my language. He also believes, by the way, that Biden's infrastructure $2.3 trillion bill is not popular with the public. Who is he talking to? He should get out of Washington, D.C. The people of this country love the way Biden's spending money. Very simply, because people recognize we've been without money, we got to have money, we got to be able to put food on the table, send the kids to school, pay the mortgage, et cetera, et cetera. We can't do it unless we straighten things out in this country and take a new path. And the path here is what Biden is doing. Let's spend the money right now. Let's do everything that has to be done. And in the end, there'll be more taxes paid, people will be working, and it'll all take care of itself. He just can't go for it. So far, he can't go for it. And he'll continue to be conned by Lindsey Graham, and then some other Republicans will start conning him. And then they'll be having lunch together and then dinner together, then socializing with their wives, and they will have won him over. I hope it does not happen. I hope it does not happen. We need the infrastructure bill as has been put together by Joe Biden, not with the stripped-down one that is being put together by the Republicans. Moving on. The world has changed. The world has really changed. And what I am going to share with you is a perfect example of how the world has changed. Our local newspaper in Key West is the Key West Citizen. And they do a novel thing. Perhaps it was a novel. I think it's a novel. They find the diaries of people from another era, like 1850-something, 1856, 1884, and day by day, they give you a portion of the diary for that day. And it's exciting because over a period of 2 years, 1 or 2 years, you follow that person's life at that particular time in Key West history. Okay. The world has changed. I've said that already, but I've said it again because this struck me, all right? This past week in 1856 in Hackley's diary. Now, William Hackley was a government official. He took care of customs or something, and he worked in the courts for the government. Here in Key West, had a family, et cetera. And what he wrote this past week shows you what happened in another era. I quote, John Geiger had sold the Lanja, I don't know what a Lanja is, folks, to Manuel Farina for a Negro boy valued at $600 and $800. I repeat, he sold the Lanja to Manuel Farina, all right, and got in return a Negro boy valued at between $600 and $800. And William, our good friend William Hackley, drew up a bill of sale for the boy. We forget blacks were property. We remember Lincoln freed the slaves. But blacks were property. They were sold like you sell a car, a piece of furniture, even a dog. And that's how they were treated back then in this country. That's only 150 years ago. Not a very long time and not a very good thing that was going on at the time in this country. But that's the way it was. That's the way it was with George Washington, who had hundreds of slaves. Thomas Jefferson had slaves. James Madison had slaves. Everybody had slaves. The more slaves you had, the richer you were. And you know, in every society, including today, there are some assets that men accumulate to show their wealth, to indicate they're wealthy. Back then, it was slaves. All right? Irma, Hurricane Irma. I don't want to talk about Irma yet. I want to talk about what's happening with the cruise ship battle. As you are aware, there was a referendum, three referendums in November. The people of Key West said, by a good vote, 60-some percent, we don't want the big cruise ships coming into Key West anymore. They're screwing up the water. They're affecting our reef. They don't spend that much money, the people, when they get off the boat. In fact, it's a one-day trip in and out, same day generally. And they're so cheap, these are vacationers, that they go back on the boat for lunch because they've already paid for lunch when they paid for the whole trip. They stop at Sloppy Joe's and they drink. They stop at Captain Tony's and they drink. And then they buy a T-shirt or a sweatshirt saying Key West. And they fill up the town. They're a useless commodity. They are not really of value to the community. And the people have been realizing and complaining for years and finally said, we are going to limit the size of the cruise ships coming in, period. And they voted for it, and it passed. That's how strongly the people feel about this. Now, we, and I'm saying this seriously, we're a little Key West. We're at the southernmost point in the state of Florida, not just the United States. Our state government, the state capital, is in the northern end of the state, Tallahassee. I don't know how long it takes to drive from Key West to Tallahassee, but I'll tell you this. When you want to take a trip north, you have to drive through the whole length of Florida to get out of Florida. And it's a full day's drive, at least 8 hours, to go from Key West to Georgia, the Georgia border. No question about it. Maybe 10 hours. Wild, because Florida's that long. So they don't understand us in Tallahassee, the representatives and the senators. And they said, oh, the people of Key West, they're discriminating. They only want to get people with money coming in there. They want to keep the poor people out. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. And what happened was this. The cruise ship lines got together. They got lobbyists. They got lawyers. Certain business people who benefit, both business people locally and business people statewide or otherwise, got together and have been fighting this in the state legislature in Tallahassee, and they've done well. The Senate passed the bill, and the bill they passed said it's improper for Key West to do what they did. I can't believe it. I won't go through all the law with you, but if you go through it, you can see how ridiculous it is, the position they took. We're the only community in Florida that's been offended, stuck to by the way the legislature is thinking. And it was said that the bill would, on this Tuesday, today, was to go before, whether it was the Senate or the House, I can't recall. And then it would go to the governor for signing, and he had to sign by law by Friday. Yesterday afternoon, because we all thought it was a losing war down here, yesterday afternoon the bill was pulled. It wasn't presented to the appropriate House of the Legislature for passage, guaranteed passage. And there's been nothing said. Nobody knows why. Let me tell you what happened over the weekend before it was pulled on Monday. You know, it's interesting. The newspapers don't do bad sometimes. They come up with stuff the people would never realize. There's a fellow that lives. He's a resident of Delray, Florida. Got money, and he happens to own the biggest dock in Key West. It's called Development something or other. Let's see, Development B, whatever it's called. Here it is, Pier B Development. Pier B Development. Big, and the biggest cruise ships go there. And I got to tell you something. I remember years ago I took my grandkids down there when they were 3-4 years old because I wanted to see how big the boat was. And we walked up to it where you had to put your neck all the way back and lift your eyes up. And my grandson, who had to be about 4 years old at the time, said, Papa, big. And it is. They're massive. They're the real big ones. Anyhow, so he's making money down here. He owns this pier that the boats come in. They got to pay him. Earlier this year, he made a $1 million donation to Governor DeSantis. Let me be precise. He made a $995,000 donation to Governor DeSantis. Why it was $5,000 less than a million, I don't know, but I'm sure there has to be a legal reason. In any event, the paper got aware of it, and over the weekend it was publicized. Now, is it the news that came out that caused the bill to be pulled? Because down here we're yelling and screaming, and the fix is in, never thinking about a contribution to the governor like this. But that's what came out. And is the governor afraid? Because now, you know, DeSantis, putting Trump aside, is the number one candidate to be the Republican candidate for governor, for president, rather, in 2024. And the guy's an imbecile and an idiot. I'm not just saying that. He is. He's worse than Donald Trump. And I've written about this many times over the past 2 years. Anyhow, is this why that was pulled? Because the governor didn't want to take the heat? He's been taking the heat on a lot of things. For example, the first people to get the vaccine shots were in Key Largo at a special complex or area that's only for the very wealthy, the very, very wealthy. And 8,000 people there got their shots right away when we couldn't get a shot. I didn't get my shot, and I was 85 for 2 or 3 months after they did. He does stupid things like this. I don't know why it was pulled. What I suggested sounds pretty good. I'm not saying it was done that way. I'm not saying there was anything illicit involved. You draw your own conclusions. But if this bill isn't reintroduced in the next 72 hours and the governor never gets to sign it, that probably will have been the reason. The governor did not want that kind of publicity. Okay. Key West. People loved Key West. There was a time people loved Key West because it danced to a different tune. That's why I came here in the 1990s. It danced to a different tune. Nobody cared who you were. Nobody cared if you had money. Adults were children again. We played children's games. We played, we used to play ball. We used to get together. We partied all the time. We wore short pants because it was hot, but we wore short pants. Didn't cut our hair. Wonderful place. Well, it's not the same place today. It's still a nice place. It's still an interesting place. But Key West has changed. And now everyone wants to come here. And apparently everyone can afford to come here. Not the cheapest place in the world. A hotel room right now is $750 to $850 a night. Now, that's at the Pier House, for example, which is one of the two finest hotels on the island. But what's happened, the greedy hotel keepers, and I can't blame them, see that everyone wants to come. We got so many tourists coming in. They don't have a place to sleep. So what used to be the cheap motels are now charging $750 to $850 a night. They're getting richer here along the way. Why am I sharing all this with you? Because Key West was recently found to be in the top 10 of vacation places that people want to come to this summer. To be precise, Key West was number 6, even ahead of Miami Beach, which was number 7. I got to share this with you. When I first came to Key West, the season was like January 15th or February 1st to the Sunday after Easter Sunday. Then people started leaving. We call them snowbirds. They started leaving who have homes down here but only come during the season. And by the time summer came, here's what we said. Duval Street's our main street. We used to say, in the summer in Key West, you can throw a bowling ball down Duval Street and you will not hit anyone. There was no one on the street. The stores, many of the stores would close for the month of August, some for August and September because it's so hot in August and September down here. The humidity's horrible. The people weren't coming. Now the summer business is almost as good as during the season, maybe three-quarters of it what it is in the season. Everyone wants to come. They're coming. We can't handle all these people. I'm going to tell you this right now. We've got too many people, too many vehicles on the road. I won't even go into the number of vehicles, the types. We have the most bicycle deaths in the state of Florida here, bicycles, because there's no room for a bicycle on a highway, on a road. When you have a four-lane road, one lane on each side for parking, the two middle lanes for traffic, and then you got people on the sides between the direction you're going with your car and the parked cars, and you wonder how the handlebars make it between you and your car and the other car. A lot of things happening. It's just overcrowded, and it's rent. The cheapest apartment around here is for two bedroom, two bath is $3,000 a month. Foolish, out of sight. But that's the way it is. And so I don't like being number 6. I don't find it something to be proud of. We are close to having destroyed the essence of Key West. It's not like it was when I came here in the 90s. I know everything changes, but it's not the same. It's a different ball game. And eventually people will realize that also and not come. Let's talk about Irma. Hurricane Irma was September 10th, 2017, 3.5 years ago. I wrote a book on Irma, as you recall. Only two books were written on Irma. Mine was Irma and Me. It was the story of Lewis here and racing to leave town before the hurricane hit and everything else. Great book. It sold some copies, which thrilled me because my first book didn't sell at all on another topic. Anyhow, Irma. I know Irma. We all know Irma down here. What I want to share with you is we're still repairing damages caused by Irma. It was announced that beginning tomorrow we're going to start cleaning up the canals. Now, you have to understand, we've got the ocean on one side, the Gulf on the other, and canals down here are like streets in most neighborhoods and on most islands. Streets. People park their boats there. They swim in the canal. The boats take them out to the ocean. And during hurricane, parts of houses went in, cars went in, boats tipped over and went into the canal. I'm laughing, but everything went in the canal. And nobody's taken it out yet because no one had the money, okay? So it's just now that the money has been found to do this job, and it's going to start tomorrow. It's about time. I'm not criticizing anyone because Trump said, oh, I'm going to pay for everything. He didn't pay for everything. And the smaller communities, the counties, even the state of Florida have taken a beating because Trump's promises as to federal funds, and you need federal funds when you have a disaster like this, did not come forth. Okay. Waiters and waitresses are a problem in Key West and all parts of Florida because when the hurricanes hit and then the pandemic, coronavirus, came in, no one had jobs. They couldn't pay the rents. The rents didn't go down, by the way. They stayed at $3,000 or whatever it was. And they weren't working. The restaurants and the bars are closed. So these people left town. And they don't have enough waiters and waitresses. Absolutely no question about it. In Key West and in other Florida restaurants, they can't have 100% occupancy because they don't have a sufficient wait staff to handle all the tables. They may only use 75% of their tables, so it's harder to get a reservation, all right? Now, there is a restaurant. I've never been there. It's very popular, called Mr. Q House. It's on State Road 7 in Hollywood, Florida, immediately across the street from the Seminole Hard Rock Casino, Hotel and Casino, Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. And this place does a hell of a business. It's owned by a Joy Wang. She finally gave up, or not gave up. She used common sense and judgment, good common sense and judgment. She purchased three robots. Yes, robots. Total cost $30,000, 10 grand apiece. They host. They serve meals. Okay. And they do everything that a waiter does except take the order. They bring the food to the tables, and they know where to put it. Amazing. And that's what's helping her business. And robots are going to have more jobs, take over more human jobs within 10 years. But this is a good use of a robot. Smart woman. That is my show for tonight. The next topic was going to be Mae West. I promised to start with Mae West next week. Interesting story about Mae West, Cary Grant, and John Wayne. But for tonight, this is the story. That's the show, my friends. I thank you for joining me and wish you a good night.